Lesson 46. Lesson 46 in the book of Matthew. As we study the book of Matthew, once again, we're looking at it as a dispensational view of the book of Matthew. And we left off last week in chapter 14, verses 31 through 36. But there's something that I wanted us to look at. We're going to start chapter 15 this morning. But I just want to back up a little bit on chapter 14. Verses 22 through 30. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was not now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Now, there's only one person who can walk on the sea. You know who that is. That's God Almighty. In Job chapter 9, verses 8, he tells you that he will walk on the ocean, walk on the seas. But up to this point, is this the first time that he had been in a ship or was in a ship or even been around water? Hold your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 8. Now, once again, in Matthew is a dispensation study about this timeline in the prophecy program, how God is dealing with the nation Israel that's up here and what he's doing with the other nations down here. God made a distinction between Jew and Gentile. God made a distinction between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. God made that distinction. Therefore, we need to just acknowledge it. Okay, and once we acknowledge that division, we can understand what God was doing on the earth and what God is doing in heaven in the mystery and prophecy program. But when God was coming on this earth, he came, and they should have recognized who Jesus Christ was. Agree or disagree? Through the Word of God, through the signs and wonders, where he was born, all the prophecy things was lining up to Jesus Christ. Now, in chapter 8, verse, and we done went through this, but chapter 8, verses 23. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, he calms, he stills the waves over there. Now, what does he do back over in chapter 14? He walks on those waves. And I got to think about this. I said, what a picture. If anybody should acknowledge back then, O ye of little faith, does he not say this again, verse 30? When he saw the winds boasting, he was afraid, 14, verse 30. He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. That's almost like what he said back over in chapter 8. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hands and called him up and said unto him, O thou of little faith, where doest thou doubt? It's almost the same type of questions, you know? He questioned them over here and he's questioning over there. Then we also know that when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. What did we say about all this last week? It's a picture of that little flock going into this tribulation period over here. It's going to be a terrible time for them, the nation Israel. You and I, as body members of the body of Christ, if you believe the Word of God, you're taking Allah here, whether you believe or not. If you're saved, you're going. Many of us want to stay around. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. But he takes us out of here. He deals with the nation Israel in here. He's showing them through the book of Matthew what to prepare for. So when he goes down through there saying, then that they were in the ships came and worship him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Over and over and over, I'm thinking, how many times did they say this? Thou art the Son of God. When he does a miracle. You see, who requires signs and miracles? They do, don't they? The nation Israel, ever since the first one over here, Moses, he stuck his hand in there. It was withered. And he stuck back in there. It was like a baby. And he drops the staff down. It turns into a snake. When they saw that's the first two signs in the whole Bible. And when the nation Israel saw that, they went, God's with us. And ever since that point in time, they required signs for them to see that God was with them. Now, the Bible tells us in the dispensation of grace, we walk by faith, not by sight. There's people out there walking by sight, and they think God is doing this and God is doing that. And guess what? They're being fooled. I'm sorry, but it's true. And I guarantee you, many of us sitting here today are listening, we've been down that road, haven't we? And we do not, what happens is we allow our emotions to make our decisions. And you know what that happens? A roller coaster. I'm thankful for the Word of God rightly divided by understanding it, that I can make a decision based on the Word of God and have confidence in that decision. Now, sometimes it might come back and bite you, but I didn't base it on emotions. You know, we mentioned this time of year, a lot of things going on. I'll tell you what, you can open up your checkbook and then some going on emotions, can't you? Oh, little Jamie needs this, or little Bobby needs this, and all that. And it's just sad. And you don't think. And it's sometimes it's in our mindset. I get caught up with it too, don't get me wrong. I love to shop. I love to get out. I love to think about this time of year. But I just want to let you know as we read down through there that is referring to that little flock over here in the ages to come, how God's going to deal with that nation Israel. Now, let's move on to chapter 15. Chapter 15 begins that the Lord dealing with the religious leaders. We have already seen that they rejected Jesus Christ, and now we will see why. Now, when he came to this earth, he came into his own, but his own received him not. His heart desire, when God set Abraham up for the nation Israel, his heart desire was to work through the nation Israel on this earth, pick them up, elevate them. There's no other nations that God was nigh to them, and everybody else would see what God was doing through the nation Israel and follow that. All the way through that. There's no mistake that a Gentile down here, that means nations, could not believe the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's no mistake through that. But you had to become a proselyte. You had to become a Jew, if you will. And Jew is the religion. You and I, unless you're born, you're not a Hebrew. You had to be born a Hebrew. But many people today will try to take that message today and reverse it and say you still have to become a Jew, if you will, or an Israelite, because that's what they teach in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's an error. As we learned this morning, that the reversal role is now Israel was provoking the nations to follow God. Today, in the dispensation of grace, the Gentiles are provoking Israel to come to God. And that's lost Israel because I think we know the difference there. Look at verses 1 through 3. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thou disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? Question. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? He asked a question with the question, didn't he? The Pharisees asked Jesus, why do they, disciples, transgress the traditions of elders? You think about this. all through history that when God chose Israel, he gave them laws to govern themselves with, to be obedient to. And they added to. And they became puffed up. And we found out what the leaven of the Pharisees and leaven of the Sadducees and stuff was. It's not good. Any leaven, any amount of leaven will what? Leaven the whole lump. And God's purity in Israel's program and God's purity in the body of Christ is unleavened, supposed to be. It's pure. But when you add that stuff to it, it makes it impure. I think the church, the body of Christ today, a lot of people will allow leaven in their church. And it's wrong. I listened to a man yesterday talk about his church, and it's a big church around here, how they have rock and roll type of bands in their church, and they have this, and they have the earplugs. I'm just listening, I'm thinking, leaven, you see what we have here. The choir's wonderful, isn't it? You know? We sing songs, don't we? You know, we prayer requests. But you know what the main thing what you get here is the Word of God. And that's what people need. They don't need music, bands, and smoke mirrors. They need the Word of God because that's what works effectively in those that believe it. That's what changed my life, is the Word of God. And Matthew, so when Jesus responds with a question to them, why do you transgress the commandments of God by adding your own traditions? Go to Mark chapter 7 and get Deuteronomy chapter 4. Matthew, Mark chapter 7 and Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, Deuteronomy, what do you know about Deuteronomy? It's the second giving of the law. It's also the fifth book in your Bible. So they're giving the law again. Also, the book of Acts is the fifth book in what we call the New Testament. And that's giving something different. That's giving something new. And in Mark chapter 7, verse 1 through 3, Mark's chapter 7, verse 1 through 3, it's going to back up what he said just in Matthew. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defile, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands alt, eat not, holding their traditions of the elders. Now keep something there because you're going to come back there in a little bit. But go to Deuteronomy. So that's the same thing what Matthew was sharing. They held traditions of their elders. Now is that God's traditions? No. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now therefore hearken, O body of Christ, O Israel, unto the statutes and to the judgments will I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. So when they go into the promised land, God has given them some instructions what to do, correct? Okay, look at verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I commanded you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I commanded you. Now he commanded them, go back to Matthew, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 clearly points out that God's word was not to be added to or subtracted from, right? That's clear. Doing this would destroy the proper worship of God. And you know what those Pharisees and Sadducees, they didn't care. We're holier than thou. They're walking around in temples of gold and silver. And, you know, who are you to talk to me? Who are you to question me? That sound familiar? Think about today. You know, people out there think they're puffed up and in vain worship and think they've got wisdom. They got wisdom of this world system, but they don't have the wisdom of God, and they act like they're holier than thou. And who are you to tell me what the Bible says? Now, I've been down that road, and you have too. And it about ripped the joy out of me. But you know what? I stayed the course. You stay the course. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching from doctrines that the commandments of who? Men. From laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold a tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. That's what they was doing. They wasn't holding the traditions of man. And you know what? They became what we call apostated. They departed from the true things of God he gave God, and they're delighting in their own selves. And you know what? They're following the god of this world. He's got a system out there. He's got the same system going on today. But you think about that. Verse 13. Making the word of God of none effect through your traditions which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I think Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, was straight and to the point. And he's pointing to those Pharisees and Sadducees that rejected them. He already knows they already rejected them. That's why he formed that little flock and started teaching them parables so they would understand what they're going to go through over here. You and I are not going to go through that, but he showed that. But yet they come back to him, don't they? And he's going to give them an answer, and it's usually a straight way. Now let me tell you, let me show you something. Go to Colossians chapter 2. And get 1 Peter. So we know as we look at the Word of God, we break it down in three divisions, don't we? Times past, but now, and ages to come. That's how you understand your Bible, what God did in times past, what He's doing now, and what He's doing in ages to come. You just read what He said in times past to the people. You carry traditions of man. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. You ready? Verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Hey, Apostle Paul is telling us the same thing the Lord Jesus Christ was telling them over there. You with me? Now, how many of us, now, you know, don't want you to raise your hands, but I'm with you. I followed philosophy because that man knew more than me. I didn't study my Bible. It was a delight the other day when I was on the airplane talking to a guy from Baltimore. And he was an ITT for Sara Lee, and he does the camera work on, you know, church, and I told him what we'd like to do and stuff, and he goes, I said, what do your church teach about Jesus Christ? And he mentioned about, well, right now our bishop is teaching that you're not under the law of the tithe. You know, you give cheerfully. And I looked at him, I smiled. I said, I bet he's causing the division. And he said, yes, he is. And the guy turned around and he said, but you know something? I am to study to show myself approved. And those are the verses that, you know, I stand on them like I'm smiling from ear to ear. And, you know, I just had to ask him the same thing. What do you trust in? He mentioned repent and, you know, believe and all that. And I said, well, you know, the Apostle Paul talks about trusting Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. And he understood that. And we had a clear conversation after that. But I know that he don't want to follow the philosophies of men. See, when you study to show thyself approved, that goes against everything of that world system. You notice that? Hold your finger there and go to Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 6 says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. Now, what did you already heard about the world wisdom? Philosophy and vain deceit, right? Nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Guys and gals, the wisdom that we preach is found in a mystery program that's only in Romans through Philemon that was in God before the world began, but now is made known. And you talking about wisdom, you're like, when you understand the Word of God rightly divided, don't it make a difference in your life? It did me. Go back to 1 Peter. So in ages to come, James, Peter even talks about over here, you know, I got to think the other day, there's no mistake that how God laid this program out. You know that? And if you just rest in that and acknowledge, you may not understand it, but God put it out for a reason, that he put Romans in where it's supposed to be. And Romans through Philemon is our marching orders, and we can understand what God is doing today in a dispensation of grace. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis through Malachi is what God was doing through the nation Israel. And then when we're all out of here and taking part, that leaves Hebrews through Revelations, that they're going to be able to pick that book up, and they're going to understand what God is doing in that time period. Yes. That's not saved.
Yeah, not saved in the rapture. He comes into that place there. He has to follow then Hebrews through Revelation. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes.
Now, when he dies eventually, will he go to heaven or will he stay on this earth?
Okay, the point is this. When God takes us out of here, the body of Christ, that was a mystery program that you can't find anywhere else, period. He takes us out of here. You know what that leaves here on this earth? Lost people. Everybody's lost. And those, and then God puts a little flock, well, the 144,000, and they're not JWs, which they say they are, but they're not. They preach a gospel of a kingdom. And Israel hears that, and they believe. Not all. But they believe, and they became a little flock, a she. They run to the wilderness. The Gentiles down here have the same opportunity, if you and I was there, has the same opportunity to believe that same gospel. And that's why they go in the kingdom with, you know, we're talking about 10 nations go in the kingdom over here. Because why? They did the Abrahamic covenant. I bless those who blessed you. They have that opportunity, and when they get in this kingdom program, that's when they get the rewards. Everybody from over here, all the way up to Paul, that died, that was justified in God, believing God, is resurrected over here, and they go in the kingdom. That's their promise. That's their hope.
Paul would go into the kingdom.
Not Paul. I didn't say Paul. I said everybody to Paul.
Oh, to Paul.
Yeah. Paul, until the rapture, is called up in the heavens, what we call the Bema Seat of Christ that you only find in Paul's program, and we get our rewards and positions in the heavens. Thus, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Not heavens. Yes.
It says the gospel of kingdoms. They're preaching that. That's what they'll be preaching. Is that the same people who preach today talking about there's going to be a second coming of the Pentecostal? The day of Pentecostal?
Well, they're still waiting. They don't believe the first one, I think. You're talking about like they're everybody's waiting. That's the only way they can reconcile that. Because this one is only, to know the Jewish feast days calendar, Pentecost is nothing, no big deal in Acts chapter 2. They always had a Pentecost after Passover. 40 days they had a feast day after Passover. And as you follow that calendar, a feast day calendar, they call this over here the second Pentecost. They're looking for the second Pentecost. Now, will that be a feast day and a festival going on when Israel is redeemed and all that? Absolutely. Okay? But this time here is a wrath that's going to be poured off on the nation of Israel for what they did over here, being disobedient. And as we study the book of Matthew, that's why I'm trying to encourage people to believe Matthew in a dispensation view, and there's no earthly way we are over there. Because he's pinpointing the nation Israel, that little flock. And they get preached to, 144,000. The believing Israel, when Paul says all of Israel be saved in Romans chapter 11, that's the believing ones. Hey, think about this. God worked remnants all through the Bible, didn't he? So when they believe that, they run out here. That 144,000 is caught up. There's a mid-trib rapture right here. But all of Israel is only the believing ones. There's still going to be Israelites out there that don't believe that.
The unbelieving ones, he's going to judge.
And that's what this is all about. And he comes back, second coming, and then he sets up his kingdom. Jesus Christ sits on the throne of David, and he rules for 1,000 years. And there's hell there. There's a pit that's bored down in the center of the earth, and you can see hell. Well, you won't be able to. We as a bear, we'll see what God is doing. But all this time period right here, the Gentiles and the nation Israel that's ruling and reigning in Christ, that was it's a government structure out there. Those Gentiles right here will go up there every Sabbath day and worship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be forced to come to church. You know how you was a kid and your daddy and mama grabbed you and said, you're going or else. And when you get there, you better straighten up. And then they shove you off in a room somewhere and, you know, you don't know, you know what I mean? And then you come back and by the time you're 15, 16 years old, you don't know how to act in this church. So you get bored. And guess what you do? You're like, Dad, Mom, I'm not going to church today. Okay, where are you going? I'm going over to Johnny's house. Okay, be good. You know, they have no substance. That's the same thing's going to happen over here. They're going to go to church every Sabbath day, but they're going to see that man in that pit, that Satan in that pit. And if you break the law there, it's judgment.
Wait, just one little...
Yeah, James says just one guilt, one point of the law. Yes. Well, God says in Ezekiel that when he puts the flesh on them and the spirit on them, it causes them to walk in the statutes. They're not going to have no choice. But what I'm telling you is, for 1,000 years, your kids, if you're around there, they're going to be made to go. And when Satan's loose for a season, what does it say? He deceives the nations, not the nation Israel. The nations. So he gives them a choice. And that clears my mind. I think it's always about free will. God never ever violates your free will. Even today, Adam had a choice, didn't he? All Adam had to do is grab his wife by the hair of the head and drug her through the paradise and say, Lord, look what you did. Look what you gave me. How do we make it right? But he didn't, did he? He loved her. He loved her. And he didn't want to see her die without him. But getting back over here, 1 Peter, verses 18, 19, chapter 1, verses 18, 19, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter's telling them over here about traditions of the fathers, but you're not redeemed from that. He's trying to tell them. Bottom line is this and all of it. The only kind of traditions that is authorized in the Word of God, He authorized it. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself from every brother that walk disorderly and not after the traditions which he received of us. Now Paul is going to talk about traditions received of us. So they are good traditions. You with me? Go to verse 14, same chapter. And if any man not obey our word of this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Look at verse 1 in chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that ye may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. That's a big, bold statement, isn't it? Not have faith in who? God and Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, men has faith. We work with a lot of men, don't we? And boy, they got their faith in something else. They don't believe in God and the gospel of grace. So that's what Paul's talking about here. Not all men have the same faith you have. And he goes to verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will to do the things we command you. Paul is commanding the body of Christ to do certain things. And the Lord direct your hearts in love of God and into patient waiting for Christ. Isn't that our hope? Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? You take that away from me and you just crushed me. But the Lord is faithful, isn't he? It says in verse 6 that we just, now we command you. Verse 7. For yourself know how ye ought to follow us, for we have behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Let me ask you something. In times past, when Lord Jesus Christ, that we're looking in the book of Matthew, was those leaders and stuff walking orderly or disorderly? They're walking disorderly. Paul is instructing us with that new gospel how to walk orderly. That's why it's when the Bible's laid out, it's laid out for reproof, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. It's laid out in His God's in the dispensation of grace. The Bible's laid out in Romans, a book of doctrine. Corinthians, a book of reproof. They're reproofing their behavior. They're not doing the things they're supposed to do. Corinthians was, if you looked at Corinthians, they're not a model church. They're doing things out there that was even named among the Gentiles, but they were still saved. So Paul's reproofing their behavior. The book of Galatians is a book of correction. He's correcting their behavior. Hey, Paul started every one of those churches, and the Galatians church was set up on faith plus nothing. And no sooner did he leave, the Judaizers came in and said, hey, it's okay that you trust Jesus died for your sins, but you've got to be circumcised. And Acts chapter 15 says, unless you're circumcised by the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. That's a contradiction of what Paul just established in the book of Galatians. And right here's the issue. The heart is circumcised. But they were circumcised by the flesh, physically. So they set themselves apart. You follow me? That's traditions of men. And then you talk about, after that is Ephesians, another book of doctrine that he explains about the mystery truths and how advanced that you're seated in heavenlies. Then after that is Philippians, isn't it? Philippians is a book of reproof for their thinking. Their mind wasn't right. So he had to line it up with a wonderful group of people in Philippians. But he didn't come down on hard on like Corinthians did. And then you got Colossians, don't you? Colossians is a book of correction. And then after that, what's after Colossians? Talk to me. Thessalonians. That's a book of instructions and righteousness. You get doctrine, you get reproof, you get corrections, you get instructions and righteousness that you caught out of here to understand that you're perfect. Absolutely. And if you keep that perimeter, and I keep my mind set on like, okay, these people that says this, well, what's the book of Corinthians is reproofing their behavior. You need to reproof your behavior when you think you're out here doing this stuff and the thinking. You know what I'm saying? That helps me in a realm that we got people that thinking other things. They're thinking outside the box. There's nothing wrong with thinking outside the box, but you better know where your doctrine is that's going to feed you. Then, yes.
Take that literally, I shouldn't do any evil.
No, you would do evil.
I know, but I'm saying
it said keep you from, he's going to be faithful. He's going to keep you from evil, from this evil, from the evil of the world. You're still in this world.
I'm thinking evil things to do.
No, you're going to do that no matter the day you die. Your flesh is going to do that.
He's talking about when he says establish you, that goes back to Romans 1:10, 9:10, where he says, well, he's coming there and he says he wants to establish him. By the time you get to chapter 16, you're established because he breaks down everything that you have just talked about. There, that gives you some understanding of the workings of the Bible.
Absolutely.
Who you are and how you are in Christ.
Then let's keep working this. We're getting ready to close. Verse 7. He's going to tell us about some things. Disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wroth with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Here's a man's going to work for his bread, ain't he? Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves ensamples unto you to follow us. Now, what do you know about ensamples and examples? Ensamples is something inside of you, where it really your spirit is. And if you can make someone an ensample of you, then you have X samples. You're looking at somebody, right? You're looking at an X, an N. Then he says, for even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there were some which walked among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word of, by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. These traditions are found in Paul's epistles. And as surely as Paul laid it out on the line, God through Paul laid it out on the line. Go back to Matthew, verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? God Almighty, Lord Jesus Christ, laid out some things, and he knows that the nation Israel is rejecting them. And he knows that he's laying it online, pointing at them. And sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to point at some brothers and sisters and all say, hey, you're not doing this orderly. You know, or you're doing it disorderly. It's hard. And if you know me, I'm not going to have dominion over your faith. And if you ever, you know, if you could come to me and say, Ed, you know, you're not doing this right. You know, I'm not above counsel, but I tell you what, I know what God is doing in Matthew, and I know what God is doing today, and it's almost the same as far as instructions. But when Paul talks about traditions, man, you follow him as he follows Christ. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.